Welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And this is episode 142. And we are going to be talking about the idea of time. I guess finding time. What happens when time gets away with you? There's never enough of it. Who agrees with that? Right. But before we talk about that, what has your week been like? And perhaps I'm guessing a little bit frantic because of the subject.
It's, you know, do you ever have bitty weeks where you feel like you've done a lot of little things that had to be done, but they're not satisfying. And it's at the end of the week, you think, oh, that week just got by. And it's that one of those weeks. So I'd sold all those paintings the other week, but a few people wanted them holding back and then shipping out this week. So there's just a couple to finish and put in boxes. I had to do some accounting. I had some personal appointments that took up time and you have to drive there and then it's morning's gone by the time you've done that. And it just feels like, I suppose the most exciting thing about my week, the most productive thing, is I bought a Welsh dresser on eBay for my studio because I've not got enough storage. And this Welsh dresser came on and it's the exact proportions of this space that I had if I took some shelves off the wall. And so I've replaced a few shelves with this tall thing with 1, 2, 3, 4 shelves plus drawers plus cupboards underneath. I painted it all white. It was really badly painted. When the man brought it, he said, oh, I've started a line of restoring furniture. And I was like, okay then, because I think what he meant was one slapped on coat of emulsion over the top of a wooden dresser. So I had to give it some sanding, some painting, but now it's white and it's just tons of storage just suddenly opened up from this one thing. And it didn't look, I thought, will it look bad? But painted the same white as the walls, it kind of blends in. And it's quite exciting. So I've stuffed all my unused paint tubs in the cupboards. I've put pencils and charcoals in the drawers in boxes. It won't stay this organized, but for the time being, I've got all my sketchbooks out on the shelves. And yeah, it's good.
That's quite nice. It's a nice mix of hidden and on display. Accessible stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and because, you know, I'm lucky to have this space, but it's still relatively a small space. So you've got to try and maximize the space that you've got and leave as much room for painting as possible. So yeah, I'm really pleased with it.
I think it's always an issue with storage, that balance between having things put away. And then personally, when I put things away, I forget where they are. So
yeah, exactly.
But then if you have it all out, then it just feels like it's out all the time and it's a mess. Well, that feels like a fairly chunky thing to have in your week.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good achievement. I'm glad about that. And that was done in bits and bobs between everything else. But I can't say in art terms, was it a good week? Not really. I got a few hours of painting in. I must do better.
Yeah.
So okay. What about you?
Okay. It's been quite a fun week, actually. It's gone quickly. I'm just feeling like I can't believe it's November already.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. And I don't know what it's, I don't know if it's the monotony of, you know, it's just like one day leads into another. They're all a bit the same. There's not been a lot to, I don't know, differentiate time. There's things that we've got to do. All of a sudden it's November. Clocks are changing. Dark in the evening. How did that happen? Where did summer go? God, it's annoying. So on the bigger scale, yeah, where did time go? But also each week seems to be coming around quickly, 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 quickly. But I had actually quite I've had a nice week. I think feeling that I don't have to get new things finished. I've got some little small ones to get finished. For Manchester Art Fair has just freed me up to just purely experiment, and I've got stuff going on in the studio at the moment that just, it's really funny. I can look back at a painting from about 3 or 4 months ago, perhaps when I felt like I was being brave and doing something different, and it seems really tentative compared to what I was doing on Tuesday. which I haven't shown anyone yet. And that's quite exciting.
Yeah. Two questions here. One, you said you don't have to finish anything for Manchester Art Fair. Are you not going to Manchester Art Fair?
I am, but I'm taking ones that I've already got and got framed. That aren't on the website yet. And I'm taking those.
Yeah. So then the other question is, not really a question. It's an observation. You posted something. God, was it? I don't know if it's Facebook or Instagram or somewhere the other day. That was an older piece.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. You'd seen it on a TV show. And it wasn't the other day. It was a few months ago. You posted, I saw this on Baptiste.
Oh, yeah.
And you put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was flicking through your Instagram, looking for something else that you posted. And I saw that. And it's so different from what you're doing now.
Mm.
You see the striking difference. It's still you, the colours. And something about the compositions are still you, but such a massive leap forward or leap somewhere, you know, different. It's exciting to see that when you really only see the big changes, I think, when you look backwards sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. And for anybody else listening, it's in my Instagram feed. I think it's called Inverse, that painting. So if you go on my website and search for it, is it called Inverse or Jumping Point? Inverse, I think. It's green and blue, and it's a kind of olivey green and blue, and it's quite structured. And I think maybe that's the thing that I've been pushing against. How do you relax that structure a little bit without everything going wishy-washy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I thought it was really exciting to see and often helpful for everyone to think, go back and look at what you were doing a year or 2 years ago when you feel like you're not getting anywhere, and then you see how much you've changed.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there are always still threads that continue.
Yeah. Like I say, you can still see that it's you. You still have a structure, and you still have a similar colour palette, not so much colour palette, even choices of proportions of colours.
Yeah.
It's hard to put into words. So you can still see, but it's all much more fluid and floaty and soft than it was then. And I wonder, does that mean you're more fluid and floaty and soft in your life than you were then?
Oh, possibly a little bit more relaxed, in the sense that maybe I'm not quite so concerned about outcomes of things. I don't think I'm more floaty now. I think, you know, given this topic of time we're going to come back to, I think I'm under, there's more to do now, and I'm less floaty because I can be less floaty now.
Yeah, I don't think of you as a floaty person.
No, I'm not really very fit. So, but maybe that's why in the work I need it.
Yeah.
I think that often happens, is that actually what we do, what we create, what we're interested in our work is a drive for some kind of balance in our life. If it's more of the same of what we already have. I know your work, you know, reflects you and where you are, but I think it is also often there just to redress things a little bit. So I think what it's almost like what you're looking for in my work is what I don't have perhaps so much in me and in life perhaps.
That's interesting,
You say about colours. I don't know what the hell is going on with colours at the moment. It's totally different. And I don't know where that's going to go in terms of how they're going to fit with existing work. Everyone, you know, the people are going to go, oh god, no, what's going on here? But it's what it is. So I'm enjoying it at the moment. It's fun.
We always seem to be having it's good that we're always having the opposite week. If I'm having a fun week, you'll be having a stressed out week, and vice versa. So it gives me hope that next week might be better.
You know, next week well hang on, next week will always be different. That's the thing.
Yeah, this is true.
So on to this idea of time then. What's going on? I tell you what's come up for me on this a little bit this week is the idea of being ready to be ready for something. And I think this is a different angle from what you want to bring to the table. But what I mean is, I think we often have, because we do it. Like people write lists, those flipping endless to-do lists. And I try to avoid those. I try to have specific things that need to happen today or this week, not huge, great big lists that get shifted and shifted and shifted. Regardless of that, there are things that do get shifted because none of us are very good actually at estimating how long things take or allowing for buffer zones when other things come in. But what I've noticed this week is that there are some things that have got shifted and shifted and shifted. And then this week I'm ready to do them and they've got done like that. And right. then it's easy.
Why and do you think?
They weren't that, maybe they weren't that urgent before, or they didn't feel that important, or they just weren't necessary to be done then.
No, I was wondering why suddenly now you could do them though. Was it something like there was a deadline in coming up, or was it more like you felt like doing them?
Deadline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deadline. But often once I get started on something, then I start to feel more like doing it. And then I can kind of power through a few things quickly. But it's just getting into that space in the first place, isn't it?
Yeah. I find it very challenging on those kind of things as well. Something I've come up against this week is I have to do something really, really don't want to do, which is organize the accounts for the non-related art business, nothing yeah. to do with art business, yeah. organize those accounts and do the taxes. I am now up to February. I've only got to do February and March of this yeah. year and I'm done. And I've got the folders here. And I've carried them around with me for 3 days and I can't face the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And that really frustrates me because I know the feeling when I get to March done and send it to the accountant will be amazing. Phew, done. Because that business won't be running after this year. So that'll be it. And something is preventing me from just doing the last little bit. And I can think of course, I've got many other things to do. So you can always find another thing. Well, I'll do that instead. But I have done a few hours of painting this week. And while I was painting, I was thinking that brown folder sitting there waiting for me to do those 2 months of accounts. I think so procrastination for me is a problem when I don't like what I'm doing. I'm great at the things I love doing, but the procrastination comes in when I don't, unlike you, only when there's a deadline. Like if the accountant wrote to me and said, if you don't get these books to me by tomorrow, I can't file your accounts, I would get it done. But if he's not saying anything, I'm just going to push it away and away and away.
I just think that that's completely human, though. I mean, I think it is. But it's interesting, that thing of doing 80% of something or 85% and not finishing the last 10 or 15%. That's a really interesting thing. The thing is, you know, with those accounts that you will get them done. That will happen. But I think that there are other things that we have that we do. I'm just interested how many people this is true for, that we'll do the bulk of something, but maybe not finish it off fully, not wrap it up fully, not do that final nth percent of it. I know I do that. And sometimes it feels okay because maybe that 10% isn't that critical. But then maybe that's the last little extra of a task or something that would make all the difference. And that leaving things not fully finished is quite a difficult thing to live with. That, and ultimately, that's what gets anybody, I think, out of that procrastination zone. Is that the niggling, flipping irritation of having something, it's such a horrible cloud to live under.
Now, I wonder, so maybe my not finishing these is to do with the fact that if I finish them and send them off, then he might have questions or require me to get extra information or say, these are not good enough, we need to start again, because this is a new accountant as well. So maybe that's often, I think, with people's paintings. I know lots of especially beginner artists who'll start lots and lots of paintings but never finish them, because trying to finish risks failure. This might risk a failure for me if I send these in and then he gives me a whole ton of other stuff to do, so I'm better off just keeping it undone. Maybe that's part of the reason. And I think we often do that.
Yeah, because you're keeping it within your control. Like if it's not finished because you haven't done it, you know that actually you can sit down and do it anytime you want. But it's that really annoying thing of like when you've got something and you've marked it off in your bullet journal as done. And then when somebody comes, oh, there's extra to do on it. So there was something the other day. Oh, I know what it was. Booking extra lights for Manchester Art Fair. And that was on my list. And I left it till the last day to order these booking these lights. And when it actually came to it, it wasn't order the lights, pay for the lights. It was download a form, download an Excel form, fill out the Excel form, re-email it back to them. So it wasn't even filling in a form online. It was like a really icky process. Yeah. And then they just said, oh, yeah, thanks. We'll invoice you for the payment. So it wasn't done. Like I'd done my bit. But it still wasn't done.
Yeah.
So annoying.
I think it's these little bitty like that. Those are the things that eat up the time that I really resent. It's painting. I never resent that time.
Yeah.
Doing something like this. Sometimes it's hard to fit this in, but I feel it's productive. I see a purpose to it. I feel it's creative. Making a YouTube video, any of those things, I see the, but it's all the little bitty things. And people say, oh, get someone to help you. And when you get to the point where you can get someone to help you, they still need you to give them things and do things and tell them things. So I have a bookkeeper, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but she's not psychic. She still needs me to give her the invoices or whatever I've done that month. She still needs me to answer questions. And when I get an email from her, my heart sinks because I know it's going to say, do you have this invoice? Did you do this? Have you, you know, where's this? And that's going to take me. And if I sit down and do it, probably only 10 minutes. But I make it into this huge thing in my head that I put it off for days and days, and the poor woman waits and waits. And when we worked together on the other business, Phil used to say to me, you spend more time arguing about something than it will take you to just do it. Because I used to say, can't you do that? Can't you just da da da? Because I so hate admin that I'm trying to push it away to someone else. But it's true. It doesn't usually take that long if you just buckle down and do it.
I have a strategy for getting over this.
Okay,
tell me. I get stuck with it. Two strategies. One is to find a time when you're going to do it. Give myself a reward. Set a timer on my phone so that I know how long it actually takes. And honestly, I would say 8 times out of 10, it takes me a lot less time than it has done in my head all the time thinking about it. So and the purpose of that is that you're actively paying attention to something that is going to change and reinforce new thinking about it. And what I then do, so this is what I do with my end of month accounts, is that I've got a list of tasks that I need to do. And next to each one, I identify how long it takes me to do. So every time I'm feeling sick about doing something on it, I can see that list and that this part of it is going to take me 20 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, fine, I can do that.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of two-step process around it. And for that, where I've got a system for it, then I can do it. It's these other little niggly throw up things. And the only way for that is to have, like, I have one day in my week that's a lot more flexible. Wednesdays for me. Mondays is pretty busy. Tuesdays I try to do studio. Thursday is this and membership stuff. Friday is studio and social sometimes, maybe outings, you know. Galleries, that kind of thing. But Wednesday is a lot more flexible for those extra bitty things. So that would be when I would try to book in dentist appointments, deliveries, all that stuff. But there's always going to be something, isn't there, that throws off.
Yeah. And that's I have found actually it helps me with the things I hate. It helps me to pile them up. Like for example, banking things, and then sit down with the pile and work through them all at once. If I can do that, it's quite satisfying then. Okay, paid that bill, done that, moved that there. That's not too bad. So I was trying to think, I think next year I would like to get more structured. You've got this structure of days I don't seem to ever have that. I seem to always have something every day. Every day I have something that is a commitment, whether it's a personal appointment or an interview for the podcast or a video to make or a thing for my group or something. And I wrote in my diary this week, paint on 3 days.
Yeah.
And I've only managed it on 2.
Yeah.
And already tomorrow, it looks like it's gone out the window because I have so many other things I have to do tomorrow. So, I try and think, this is the thing with time. How much of what I'm doing is essential and how much of what I'm doing isn't? And how much am I filling up time by making projects for myself? And for example, this month I do a monthly masterclass in my membership group, which is basically our theme for the month. And we do some education on that. And this month, and it's always a big amount of work for me, lots of videos, lots of presentation things. This month, I was doing an interview with another artist as part of it. And as the interview went on, I thought, this is really good. If I'm careful what I ask her, we could chop this up and this could be the masterclass, like if she's okay with it, which she was. So we did that. And I put 5 videos up on different topics. That was the masterclass. And then towards just before time to release it, I was thinking I should do another video where I demonstrate some of blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, no. I actually stopped myself and said, don't. You've already done enough work. But so often that's my thing. If there's something else I can squeeze in, I'll squeeze it in. And that's a problem because you're over delivering and you're eating up into your own time. You find, because you'd give a lot to your membership group. Do you find this too? Are you able to let things be or do you keep trying to add more?
I keep trying to add more. And you know, we do have a plan for it. And I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this week, this is just 1 week, you know, we're putting together the email and I'm like, okay, well, it's an extra lesson and this is a new thing. And this is a new thing. That's 3 new things in 1 week. It's too much. But what of them would go? Because they're all useful things. And next year, I want to have much more focus and support, because I think we're all overwhelmed with stuff to do, stuff to see, stuff to watch. And the reality is what we need to do is get things done. Okay. And yes, there are going to be things that you need to learn about and you need to either, you know, watch things or read things or find time to learn about something when it's important to you. There is no, you know, there's no shortcut to that really. But I think it's really difficult. And in the membership this week, I've got somebody who's joining us on the team. And, you know, actually it's Joe McCarthy, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And she's, her background, go back and listen to that podcast. It was, I don't know, about 4 weeks ago from now. So 137 or something. Let me just have a little look. Good guess. It was episode 137. And I love her approach and her expertise, although she doesn't like the word expert, is with online shops and selling. And she's coming into the membership and she's going to be doing this on a regular sort of basis for us. And I thought, oh, this is great because it's actually also going to be easier on me. It's taken quite a lot to get somebody else in, to get systems onboarded, for her to get used to things. We still haven't quite worked out how this is actually going to work, where I don't have to be there too. It's not been a time release yet, despite the fact that that's now somebody else that I'm. But I think ultimately what has to drive you in any of these decisions is why are you doing this? So I think you're right. If you've got a question, I'm doing something, I'm spending a lot of time, or I'm feeling like I'm time poor, or I'm wasting time, why are you doing it? Because that question, why, it's always going to be your motivator to either get things done or to drop things or to change the way you do them. Always. So in terms of, you know, you and I are both trying to do quite difficult things. You know, we're doing two totally different things, which lots of people do in life. But we're trying to create our own work, have time for that. You can't rush that. It takes time and everything that you need to market and sell that. And we're also running a business that supports other people in different ways, which for many people who do that kind of thing, that is a full-time job on itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're also doing all the painting thing alongside it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not surprising.
Which basically means you're running two different businesses as well, because you have two different, I think you do too, two different sets of accounts, two different, like, so that, yeah. But why? I mean, this is the problem. The why, I have a clear mission of what I know I want to do with my art and with the membership. I know you do too. And if I ask myself why, then a lot of these ideas I have will fit into my why. You know, I want to do that because I want to inspire people to find their own creative voice. And I can come up with I've come up with a new idea this week. I could write another book. And it would be brilliant and it would really inspire people. I could see it now. And then I told you before this, but my friend said, shouldn't you just like put that on the shelf for a while? Haven't you got enough on? And I was like, yeah, but I could do half an hour every morning and it'd be quite enjoyable. And it would be enjoyable. I like writing. But yeah, but it's another thing on top of everything else. So do you have to say, okay, if I want to do that thing, I have to let go of this other, I suppose you have to look at all the things and say, which is the priority for me, which most fits my why, or is there a way I can get someone to help me?
Yeah, there's that. And I think also it's bigger picture stuff, isn't it, than that at the moment. So yeah, you could do that. You can do that book. You could, but is that going to be, you know, ultimately that's going to be something that adds extra stress, because it will at some point, to your life. Do you need that in your life right now, or can it wait?
Yeah.
No, it's not, true. It doesn't have to go away. And I think those kind of questions are they're really tough, because like we want to do all the things, but sometimes actually, when you get to the point where you say, actually, no, I want to calm down a bit, or have more time, or, you know, not feel quite so under pressure with things, right? Well, that means that some of those things aren't going to get done then.
Yeah. That's and it. What I find difficult with that, I'm sure, well, you probably know this too, and lots of other people listening probably feel this. The ideas keep coming. And so it's like, okay, you can't stop them.
No.
And some of them are rubbish and they dissipate again. They feel great, but the next morning you realize they're no good. And some of them are really, you know, really good ideas. And I had an example of that. It's quite funny, this week or last week. For ages, I've looked on Rightmove for properties with big barns that would be suitable for art retreats, and had this idea in the distance that might be a really nice final move for me to a place like that, and then that would be my business. And anyway, the right house never comes up. There's always something wrong. Well, this house came up and it wasn't in the right place. It was somewhere in Wales, not that far from here, on the kind of England side of Wales, but still it was in Wales. And everything about this house and the outbuildings and everything was so perfect. And I was full of the inspiration of, right, I know exactly, I can picture the retreats, I can see where people, the teachers would stay, glorious place to come, everyone would be so inspired, they'd have these brilliant barns to paint in, oh, unbelievable. And I even rang up and said, and they said, oh, the sale's going through. So I said, well, let me know if anything changes. So 2 days later, I get a text, sale's fallen through. And it's available. Would you like to come? And I said no. I thought about it for the day. And then I said, I don't want to waste anyone's time. I'd love it, but it's not the right time at the moment for me. And so I'm going to pass on it. Since I said that, it's just there in my head constantly. You could still have time to change your mind. You still have time to go. You could still go look at it. But I know I've done the thinking through and I know it's not the right time. And I know it's possibly not quite the right place, even though so much of it was lovely. So that's an example of when I've been able to say no, and yet it doesn't go away. So it re-energized me to start looking again for properties and seeing what else there is.
Because I was going to say, if you've got to that point of now is not the right time, then you can stop spending time looking on Rightmove, can't you?
Yeah, but then I'm like, oh, but maybe still if there was something nearer, maybe if there was something, just because the house is very big, I was like, I don't need to live in Downton Abbey. I would need a servant to live in that house. No, yeah. I need something smaller. So what I'm trying to say is that I find that my mind, it's like it's this automatic idea generator, which if I say no to an idea, it goes, okay, what about this?
How about this one?
Yeah.
Like shuffling cards. Here you go, have another. Let's just keep throwing them at you until one sticks.
Exactly.
Have one.
Exactly. So if I put the book on one side, what I know is not going to happen is me gently painting every day and coming over here and pottering. And I see people who are doing that and I so envy it.
This is an identity thing without knowing what I'm talking about. But this is an identity thing. This is you needing a shift into how you see yourself. Like, I think you see yourself as somebody who is, like, you're clearly a leader, but you're also very competent and capable of doing all of these things. And therefore, you feel like you've almost got something to live up to for yourself in terms of, right, well, I could take on all these things and do them then. If you changed your view of yourself, so say you changed your view of yourself to be really fully focused on your own work, like you as an artist. Like, so he came up in the co-create session the other day. We've spoken about him before. Sean Scully. Do you think Sean Scully spends his time looking after lots of other people, or do you think he focuses solely on his work?
He didn't even look after his own wife and children, right. So I'd say no.
Okay, so that's a little bit too extreme. Yeah, but point
I know what
is
you're saying.
That people, you know, if your work is really the center, you just need to re-nudge the needle a little bit back towards your work so that that's your core reason for doing things. And I know, and it's funny because I know it is, but you've got all of these things nibbling at the edges in quite big ways.
Yeah, it's funny because I think you've hit on something really important. I have to decide if it is, because you're totally right. Everything you say is right on. But I do feel just as much satisfaction from inspiring someone else from not just inspiring them, but seeing their progress. Mm-hmm. It actually, I suppose it feels like that's maybe my legacy. Like, that's what I can do in the world. And that sounds very pompous, but my little difference I can make in the world is I can send out those ripples of creativity out that then affect other people. And it's not just for the creativity, it's for what happens to people's lives after.
Yeah,
it's for the changes they make once they start expressing themselves creatively, and then the changes they make in their lives. That's really powerful. And so the book falls into that. The retreats come into that. The online classes come into that. And so you're right. I feel pulled, like I could inspire people that way, or I could focus on me and inspiring me. But I can do both to the extent I'm doing it now, but I can't take my work to where I would like it to go if that's so much of a focus. Yeah. So it's choosing, and that's hard for me because it's not like I'm doing this to make money and this for fun. They're both so important to me.
It's this horrible balance thing that I think, women have had ever since we got out of being tied to being stuck at home is, you know, can you have it all? How do you have it all? You're expected to have it all, flipping balance, do both things perfectly.
Like, well, that's, you've got the whole family side, which is another whole thing. So you've got all of that too, which I don't have. So I'm quite selfish in this side of that area of life, but you've got a lot more to balance.
And I think actually, unless you're very conscious of it all, you only notice you've got it wrong when things start going wrong, or you start feeling that you're off kilter with it. And I think that there are times where you, so these two different areas, you know, you're more committed to perhaps to one than the other. And you, you know, with the course, you have that to a degree. There's a patch of the year that's your main focus. Membership's slightly different. They're ongoing, which is where it comes down to, you know, how do you work out your time in your week? And I don't always get it right. You know, I tell you, I don't get it right. You know, sometimes it's like, I haven't had enough painting time this week, but that's a problem. And then I have to stand back from that and go, right, well, how am I going to change that? So I think always knowing where you are with these different areas, that's the only way to redress it, isn't it?
I think a good question, it's a cliche, but if this was your last year on Earth, then what would you do with it?
I really struggle with that as a question, actually. Go on. Because I think if it was your last year on Earth or your last week on Earth, I think there would be things that you would do differently from what you do when you're living your life productively and in the right direction. If it's your last, you know, if it was my last year, I might blow it all and spend a fortune on an African safari and
I will do that definitely.
Well, you know, whatever it was, but I wouldn't. I'm not worried about the few. If it's the last year, I'm not
okay, so let me rephrase. Because my friend,
I just struggle with that as a, if it was your last week.
Okay, so let's rephrase.
Idea better of what do you want your legacy to be. So for me, the question has always been, like, when I am 65, 70, whatever, when I look back on my life, what do I want to have spent my time doing or to have created or to have achieved? What will I regret not doing? And when I ask myself that question, I know very quickly when I'm off kilter.
Yeah. And the what would I do with my last year? I know it puts me into focus of what would be, you know, what I would want. When my friend was dying, he said, people say, what would you do if you only had 3 months to live? And he said, the thing is, when you've only got 3 months to live, you're too tired to do anything. So that's the other thing. So what are we saying then? You really have to spend some time with yourself in whatever question helps you to narrow down on what you really want. And then when those ideas keep going, bloop, 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 you have to say,
whack
okay,
on the head with
doesn't
the cricket
fit. Bat. Doesn't fit.
Yeah, I think sometimes you do have to bat them out.
Yeah.
I think actually the hardest thing about this is that you have to be really honest with yourself. And that's hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to say, I feel like I've not had enough time in this week, but actually on Tuesday morning, I went to the studio and spent 2 hours scrolling Instagram rather than doing anything. Or I feel like I've not got enough time in this week and I've got so much to get things done, but actually I spent 3 hours writing an email where probably if I focused on it, I could have got something that was good enough in 40 minutes. And I think those kind of moments, they're hard, but actually I think a lot of the time we're kidding ourselves. Like there's nobody else involved in those pictures. And I think a lot of the time we spend finding something else to be the cause of it. Mm. And actually, it at the end of the day, it all comes down to us, and that's horrible.
Something Seth Godin said, either on the podcast or in his book, and I can't remember which, was really struck home for me, and I've taken it to heart and it's made a difference, was that sometimes it's more generous not to answer the email that somebody sends you. Because if you sit there, if you get as many emails as I'm sure you do, and I get so many now, if I answer each person, which my polite upbringing tells me that you should answer each person and thank them for getting in touch with you and for sharing something personal. If you do that, you can't go away and paint the paintings, make the course, write the book, because you're sitting there answering everyone's email. And sometimes you could answer all those questions that come in by email by making the course or writing the book or doing the YouTube video or something, rather than typing the email answers. And that has made a big difference to me. And I now don't answer every one of my emails. And I wrote to another artist looking for some specific information, and I got an answer back. I do not answer all of these emails anymore. I apologize. It was like an automated response. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, actually. I understand why they've done that, because it's not, it feels rude to me because I was brought up to be polite, but mm-hmm. it's, we can't answer every DM and every email. And so that's one of the ways, one of the rabbit holes I've fallen into in the past is being kind to everybody. That's my excuse. I'm going to sit and answer all these emails rather than go do those accounts, for example, which really need doing. So that's something I have stopped.
But that's a scale thing, isn't it? That's one of those things that has changed. And certainly, usually, or until the time that gets to that pain point level where it becomes impossible, there's nothing, you know. Yes, you would reply to emails. Yes, you always reply to DMs. I mean, I've had something this week where somebody suggested to me that every person that joined my email list, I did a bonjour video to them independently. I was like, no, that is not going to happen. At the beginning, like when you had 10 people joining, yes, in a week or a month or something, absolutely bloody brilliant idea.
Because it goes back to the why. So if your goal is to sell more art and these people are joining your mailing list, then answer them for as long as you can. I agree. But then when it goes against your why, so now it's taking up time that you could be doing the why, then you've got to say. But I use the email example, but in their lives, other people will have other things. Even if they don't get overwhelmed by emails, there'll be something yeah. else that they're making. Often I hear from my students, because of a lot of women, and this happens more with women than with men, although I'm not saying exclusively, they will say, I've got so many family things, I've got family responsibilities. And even when you drill down, sometimes the family are grown up adults, yes, but still they're being put first by mum over everything else. And I think that's a balance that you understand better than I do, but that is a real pull on people, and a feeling of guilt when you're taking time for yourself that you have it traditionally given to other people, whether it's a spouse or children or whatever. A feeling of guilt when you shut the door on them and come and do your own thing.
And that goes back to that identity issue, doesn't it? Because if that yeah. has been your identity and your sense of self for a very long time, and actually you're asking yourself to do something now that clashes with that, that's a very difficult thing to shift into. And yeah. I think the only thing that I've done that has helped in that regard is to accept that, you know, there are different stages in life. Things change. So what worked for you once isn't necessarily going to work for you now. And also your point about what Seth Godin said, you know, as a mum, is it better for my children that I was there for them all the time after school for a certain period? Yes, it was. And that was what I wanted to do. And that's what I could do. And then there came a point where for my children, is it better that they, or is it equally good? Maybe it's not even a question of being better, that they see that I can commit to something that's important to me, choose something to build my life around that I really enjoy, follow something without necessarily knowing what the end result is going to be, and it can grow into something exciting. That's also quite important as a mum.
Yeah.
You know, and actually when your children get older too, this, you know, the same thing applies.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got a long way over taking packages to the post office and how that how that nudges into your Tuesday morning.
But all relevant to how we manage this thing that we do, that when we start out in it, we maybe think it will all be floating in, painting, floating back out again. And then we find out there's so much else involved, whether we do extra things like you and I do, or we make our only and main business, there still is so much else involved other than just painting.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that that is important is to recognize that you are not doing anything wrong when you are spending some of your time doing other stuff than painting that needs to happen, because it does need to happen. Like, that's it. It does need to happen, a lot of it. And some of it is honesty about actually, where are you spending your time efficiently or not productively? And it's not always about being productive in a way that's not serving you. But I love being on Instagram. I love it. I love the connections. I love looking at what other people are doing. And then it nudges over into the point where, okay, this has gone on too long now. And you've just got to be honest and say, you know, this is a problem for me at the moment. So do what it takes. Put a block on your phone on it for more than 15 minutes a day. If you've only got 15 minutes a day, and this is the thing, this is what I notice, if you've only got a short period of time to do something in, chances are you get it done within that time. So if you've got an endless period of time, you'll fill it.
This is very true. So I think the key ideas that you've brought up actually in this that have really helped me are honesty, being honest with ourselves about what we're doing. Why are we doing this? And where does this new idea or this thing we're doing fit into the why? And taking packages to the post office does fit into the why if you're selling your art. So that's fine.
Yeah.
And this idea of identity, I think, is key. Mm. What is your current identity, which ties in with the why? And is that the identity that you actually want to have? Mm. And if not, how can you start to shift it? So it's about being honest with yourself and knowing why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And it goes through these, you know, it does go through different stages. So, you know, prints for me have been great for, you know, a couple of years, a good number of years, doing them individually, going to the printer, signing them, wrapping them, sending them off. Not working so much anymore because it's taking up too much time doing it that way. So they're all going to go and I'm going to start again fresh.
Yeah.
Which I haven't sent an email out about yet. So if you want a print that's on the website, go and have a look now because they're all going. I'm going to put a deadline date on. I don't know where we are now. And they're not going to be there anymore. And I'm going to start again fresh.
Yeah.
Different system.
And it's why I haven't done prints. I was going to do prints for Christmas of the Ted Hughes paintings. I just haven't got the bandwidth for it and I'm not going to stress myself out over it. So sorry, everybody.
And this is probably the point to finish on, bandwidth, because we all have a limited bandwidth. You know, you can't, and I think that sense of self-forgiveness that you know, you can't do it all. So don't try because you'll drive yourself insane, you know, or make yourself ill. And I think people have been there. Do you know who I really like in this? And this is my friend, Kelly Wynn Conrad. And she...
You mean Kellyanne Conrad, as I call her.
But what I really like, because there's a reality to it. A, she does have help in things. But so she's similar age to me. She's got, you know, children who are growing up now. She's the main... breadwinner in their family now with what she does, but she's She's also, you know, she took a very difficult decision to stop a membership. She has spent an entire year of finishing things off and doing them in a different way. And she's also somebody else who is full of ideas. Like she's does the virtual art summit that we both took part in and contributed towards. You know, there's endless ideas, pinging away. But she has stuck to this thing of a year of finishing things off and closing so that there is space for something new. And it's taken a whole year. And I think very often we assume that we're going to get to this, you know, I don't know, nirvana, by making a decision and getting it all sorted in 2 weeks. And it takes ages. It's taken me, my plan for this year was get more help in the membership, get some systems set up to help. We're at November. It's taken that long. So there you go. If you're struggling, you are absolutely not alone. And I think the one of the nice things about this time period towards the end of the year is it is really a natural time to reassess, check in with what you really want. And I haven't worked it out yet, but I'm going to be doing a free thing. It's not a lead up to anything. I just want to do a fuck it, find your flow thing again, as a thing that we can do together. It's going to be very easy, nice way to wrap up the year before the new year starts again. So keep an eye out on Instagram for that, because that's where I'll say, or on a mailing list somewhere. Come and find me on a mailing list. I don't know yet what it looks like, but I think it's important. So that's going to be a little plan that I've got. It's not going to be a big goal setting-y thing, but it's just going to be an opportunity to take this time, I think, to resettle and reassess, because it's been something that has been important and that I've been working through this year. So
sounds good.
I know I'm not alone in it. Come and do it with me. There isn't a fancy name yet or landing page or anything, because I haven't had the time to do them, but something will happen. But yeah, it's just going to be a little fun end of year celebration. So keep an eye out for that. Right. So have you got a what's inspired for us?
Well, I came into this thinking I didn't have, but then in the course of our conversation, something came up for me that has been really exciting this week. I've had a couple of messages from coaches from my program. So my course finished last week, yeah, as we're recording this, and the coaches are done now for the year. They were working for me for 16 weeks. We had a gap in between a little bit. And these are people who took my course a few years ago, and I've now brought on board as coaches. They just work during the course and help everybody through the lessons and answer questions. And I've always thought of that as we were talking about asking for help to free up time. That's what I've thought of that as, help to free up time and also help to make the course richer and more educational for everyone. And each coach is fantastic. And I hired them all on instinct, not on long interviews or anything, just on instinct. But they've sent me messages, a few of them this week, about the experience, and it showed me it from the other perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is what we have to remember when we ask for help, that the messages were, one in particular said, you know, thank you for believing I could do things I never dreamed I could do. And, my world's just expanded, and this has been such an amazing experience, and I'm so much more confident, and I can't believe that you allowed me to handle a call on my own and answer questions, and thank you for doing that. And just seeing it from that perspective, that's what we do when we ask for help. Mm-hmm. And I was discussing this with another artist as well this week, about on a more prosaic basis. She was talking about hiring a cleaner, and she said, you know, I used to feel so guilty, but now I think I'm hiring someone in a pandemic, giving someone money to do something that allows me to do what I do for my business. And this whole idea of when we ask for help, we're not just asking for help, we're giving something. And even when people are helping us for free, we're giving something if they agree to help, they're getting something out of that exchange. And I just thought it was, it's nice. It makes me feel better about the whole thing, because I always felt a little guilty about not doing it all myself. But now I've seen what is brought to the students and seen what is brought to the people that I asked to help me. You know, it's a lovely circle of inspiration.
It is. It's exactly that. And I think it's a lovely position to, you know, to be in when you can, you know, do that and expand. I think that's at the end of every month when I pay people who help me. I think this is nice because I'm supporting other women doing things their way in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, asking Jo to come into the membership was a bit nerve-wracking for me. And she's like, I'm so excited to be asked. This is brilliant. And then, you know, when she came in and she said, oh my God, there is so much in here. She said, you know, how much are people paying for this? Because whatever it is, it's not enough, which was really nice to hear. But I don't know how long this relationship will last, because she also has her own business. And we've agreed that, you know, her business is her business. It's a totally separate thing. And there might be some, because we had to get the sense of how do we use her expertise without using her business assets, if you like.
Yes,
because within the membership, it's within the membership. So I think just even having these conversations with other people often really helps you get clearer on all the different ways that it can impact people and help. So I agree with you entirely. I think it's always good to remind, like, what's on the other side of it. We're very self-centered beings, aren't we?
Yeah.
Think about things from our point of view and forget to kind of, you know, check in what it means for other people too. That's a really good one. I can imagine that being, well, I know, do you know what? I know that being a coach within somebody else's program makes a huge difference, because, you know, doing that within CVP helped for me. And the year that I was asked to do that, the first year I was asked to do that, and I'd put on my list, you know, be part of a bigger team.
Yeah.
And doing that gave me so many difficult things, challenges, things that I wasn't sure that I was capable of doing.
Yeah.
It's a good stretchy yes. thing to have. So I can imagine for those people, it's been like, fantastic. Yeah. Goodie. Right. Well, mine is something slightly different, which is we went to the theatre on Saturday to see, it was a play with Julian Clary.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
He used to have the dog many years ago. Yeah,
so we kind of know him as a slightly camp comic actor, slightly camp, very camp comic actor. And Matthew Kelly, who used to present a rather naff show called Stars in Their Eyes, who I've actually seen on stage before in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and he is excellent on stage. He is. So when I saw that this was on at, you know, a good local theatre, I booked tickets for like 3 days later before it closed. And it was excellent, and the theatre was full, and it was just amazing to, I always think this when I go to the theatre, how much it must take out of actors. And I know it's their job, but to show up time after time,
I know,
and give of themselves, give the best of themselves every single performance. And we went in the afternoon, and I thought, I'm kind of exhausted watching this. They've got 2 hours now to rest before they've got to get up and do it all again. And it's extraordinary. I mean, it really is extraordinary. And it just, okay, I'm getting a bit tearful, so this is important. But what I want to say is, I think there was a recognition in that it takes a lot to do things that are important. Mm. And it takes a lot out of us. And you get a huge reward back from doing it. And this is, it's relevant to this kind of conversation that we've been having today, because all of these things that take our time and that take us away from what we want to do, they're all part of it. They're all part of your journey about making what happens, making what's important to you happen.
Yes, because before Julian Clary does his amazing performance, he's going to have to be in the dressing room. He's going to have to meet people. He's going to have to show up and do like a certain amount of meet and greets and all this stuff that comes with the part of being an actor. And and he's going to have to audition for parts, and he's going to have to all of this stuff. And then you just get this this few hours of doing the thing that you're in it for, which for us is painting and for them is acting. Yeah.
With not a lot of feedback during it, you just get the applause for them at the end, and then they've got to go backstage and take all the makeup off and get home in the dark and the rain and all of those kind of things. You know, it's not easy. But what I really wanted to say that was the inspire is I was taking a photo of the theatre, because it's a really beautiful theatre with all these kind of lovely Rococo, gorgeous balconies. And I noticed right up at the top, where you don't normally look, right above the stage, it was a little inscription, and little inscription, it's big, it's about a foot tall, but it says, to wake the soul by tender strokes of art. Isn't that a nice thing to have at the top of a theatre?
Yeah, that's lovely.
And that's it. That's why we do all this stuff, isn't it? Queuing at the post office, dealing with accounts, struggling with the tech. Ultimately, at the end of it, that's why we do it, to wake the soul with tender strokes of art.
That is going to really help me when I start fabricating a box when we get off this call. Just keep thinking, I'm waking the soul with tender strokes of art when this painting arrives, but first I have to make a cardboard box.
We'll see you next week. All right.
Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome back to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed yourself. Haven't had one of those for a while.